You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Sunday as we start hour number two of the show. Braves are currently up 4-2 over the Reds, bottom of the eighth. But I feel like I have spent way too much of the show, jokingly, first hour, talking a lot of baseball. And in fact, we have a Falcons football game this week. Now, does it count? That doesn't matter. We get to see live action football at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this Friday as the Falcons take on the Detroit Lions. That'll be a 5 o'clock pregame show here on 92.9 The Game with kickoff at 7 o'clock. I actually just found out this past week I will be in the building because I had a group of friends who were like, hey, you want to go to a Falcons preseason game? Like, twist my arm. All right, I guess. It's preseason football, but I do. I have a couple friends who are Falcons fans and then a couple who are Lions fans. And they're like, yeah, the logo's going to be in the building, so I want to go. It's like, sure, would absolutely love it. And someone who has been covering the team all offseason long, heading into them playing real live tackle football on Friday is Will McFadden. He's the senior editor for AtlantaFalcons.com as well as host of Falcons Final Whistle, and he's on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Will, how you doing on this Sunday, man?
Caleb, how are you doing, buddy?
I am good. Now, look, Will, I was trying to think, like, there's a ton of different ways that we can start our conversation about this team, because I do think there are a lot of positive things to discuss. One area that is always it makes me laugh because fans get so passionate, frustrated, opinionated when it comes to this aspect of football, because so many fans think it's just incredibly easy. They could do it, when in fact every single time when someone gets lined up, whether it's Pat McAfee doing it on, you know, on college game time or college game day or whatever it is, and they go to kick the easiest field goal, 90% of the time they can't do it. And yet in Atlanta, we have a kicking competition of sorts, I would say, going on with Younghoe Koo and Lenny Craig out of Germany. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Will, they could keep both of these guys throughout the season, and Lenny's not going to count against the roster numbers because he's an international player. But as far as who could potentially kick week one, what kind of competition are you seeing ramping up between these two?
Yeah, it's a great place to start, Caleb. And you are right about that international player distinction. And in fact, you know, with the release of the offense tackle, Zaire, yesterday, that leaves Craig as the only international player currently on the 90-man. So if that's how they want to use their distinction, yes, they could keep both kickers. And we really heard, you know, Raheem Morris throughout last year, as he did with Kirk, you know, stand by Koo and say, look, he's a veteran. He has put us through some tough times before. I'm going to stand by him again and trust him to get through what he was dealing with. Ultimately ends the year on injured reserve, has said that, you know, he was pretty healthy very shortly after the season ended. And so that really didn't impact a lot of his preparation for the season. So as long as Younghoe Koo goes out and kind of handles his business in the preseason, and it'll be really interesting, Caleb, to kind of see how they balance that particular position in the preseason, because you're going to want to get Koo his reps. This isn't like another position on the team where, okay, there's an inherent risk of injury. Like, there's always risk of injury with anybody that sets foot on a football field, but you're not expecting Koo to get hit a ton. So that kind of muddies it a little bit for me, but you also want to get Lenny out there to see what he can do. So I think if I was going to put any money on it, which I don't, and I'm not allowed to, but I would bank on the veteran being the guy in week one, unless Lenny blows him away. I mean, they have been going back and forth in practice. Neither has notably stood out in my opinion. So for that reason, I'm going to kind of give the tie to the veteran. And I'm going to say that Koo probably does enter the season as the starting kicker.
Yeah, our mutual friend Joe Patrick, I saw him tweet about this past week where he was like, it's Younghoe Koo's job to lose. And I feel pretty strongly with that it feels like that's you go with Younghoe Koo if he starts missing kicks again and we have some sort of a problem, which it seems like that was injury related truly last season. Then you make a switch, but otherwise it feels like the Falcons, like you mentioned, go with a veteran there. But you did talk about injuries that impacted Younghoe Koo. He ended the season on injured reserve. The Falcons right now have a couple of rookies dealing with some injuries that I'm curious to get your thoughts on the impact of how it affects their usefulness to start the season, with the fact that Jaylen Walker is dealing with something that's kind of nagging him right now. And then we saw this past week, Xavier Watts missing some time. How concerned are you with those two guys and their injuries and their impact to be able to kind of show up week one?
Yeah, going off of what Raheem Morris had to say, I believe it was Thursday when he spoke to the media before practice, he did let on, hey, Jaylen Walker, minor hamstring injury, as he kind of called it. And he said, you know, Jaylen has been chomping at the bit. I guess it's champing. You know, I'm trying to be better about that specific phrase. So champing at the bit.
Is it really?
To get back out there. Yeah, I guess, you know, it is a horse terminology. So
that's
it's
right.
Easy to mistake that as chomping because horses do chomp, but it's champing. So given that, it leads me to believe that it is more precautionary in nature and not necessarily, you know, something major that's going to set Jaylen Walker back. Obviously, hamstrings can be lingering if you don't treat them seriously kind of in the beginning. So I do think it's wise for them to probably play it safer now while they do have the luxury of some free Sundays here before they really do start to matter. And then even though he's a rookie, I do think edge rusher, which is where they're going to start him, that's a little bit more simple to just kind of get out there and go get the quarterback on the other side of the ball, especially in this defense, which is emphasizing the attack. Now, Xavier Watts is a little bit more of a mystery to me just because we haven't gotten a ton of clarity. And after leaving practice early on Thursday, he was not back out there on Friday. So we'll have to kind of wait to hear from Raheem Morris when it comes to Xavier Watts specifically. He is in a crowded room with DeMarco Helms, who is really come on physically this training camp. He's probably in line more for that box role safety. But then Jordan Fuller, who came in as the veteran this offseason, a free agent acquisition, can play more of that dual hybrid safety that Atlanta does want to deploy, and why they're so excited about Xavier Watts, because he has kind of that all-around game that Jesse Bates has. So the two of them together should work really nicely. But it just remains to be seen how much time is Xavier going to miss. Because if he misses a good amount of time and maybe a preseason game or joint practices, I do think it could set him back a little bit more than Jalen purely because of how dense I think the menu of things. And this is a simpler defense. Jeff Ulbrich has said that, but still that position in particular, I do think has a little bit more on its plate. So I'm not too concerned about Jalen at all, based on what Raheem has said. Xavier, it kind of, to me, depends on how much time he's going to miss, but I don't think it's anything long-term that we should be worried about, you know, going on into the season.
Talking with Will McFadden, senior editor for AtlantaFalcons.com on the WadeFord.com hotline. Will's also the host of Falcons Final Whistle. He can teach you about the Falcons, and he can also teach you about phrases you've been saying incorrectly, like champing on the bit. Will, the other rookie, or one of the other rookies, but kind of who's getting a lot of attention, probably blown up out of proportion with the whole fight situation that happened, is James Pierce Jr. And, you know, the impact that the Falcons are hoping to get from a pass rush perspective outside of the starting a fight, or outside of the fact that people have said that, hey, he's a grown man who doesn't mind grabbing the aux cord and taking over the music in the locker room. What have you seen from him just on the field that has people rightfully kind of so excited?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the fighting stuff, but it's almost like I feel bad that that's become the number one story, because we would still be talking about James Pierce even if the fights had never happened. Like, that is how well he has played. He has pretty much, you know, they've had six open practices. I would say like four of the six, he has, if not been the 1A story, been like B or C. So he's not a talker. Yeah, I've kind of joked amongst Joe Patrick being one of them, amongst the media members, that my goal this year is to get him to just give me like two sentences in an answer. He's quiet. He is serious. He is focused, really, I just kind of think, on one thing, and that is being really good at football. He seems thoughtful. You know, he's not quiet in the sense that he is shy or not articulate or not comfortable in his own skin. If anything, he strikes me as very comfortable in his own skin. He just strikes me as, I am who I am, and I'm not going to change for anybody, and I'm here to do a job. And you ask me questions, sure, I'm going to give you the answer, but I'm not really going to give you more than that. And I dig that, to be quite honest with you. Like, he is here to do a job. And when he's been out there on the field, he's done that job very well. I kind of think that the fights happened not because he got heated or anything. If anything, he was like eerily calm, I think, out there in these dust ups. And there, the second one that happened was pretty much like a double team between he, Caleb, and Chris Lindstrom, which, you know, 9 times out of 10, I think most defensive ends are losing that battle, but he just kind of kept going after the quarterback, which is his job. And then it just kind of became Caleb holding him there and a little bit of a man on man, like, stare down. But he has been fast off the ball. He showed a lot more pass rush moves than I expected. Of all the rookies right now, like, James Pierce Jr., I see the clearest vision for on day one, and I think will have the earliest impact of all of the rookies.
What I'm hearing is James Pierce Jr. likes to make other people work, whether it's the media, he's going to make you do a little mental sparring to get answers, and whether it's the guys on the field, he's going to make you work. So I love hearing things like that. Will, the things that I don't love to hear, and because I'm not seeing it in person, I have a hard time going, like, should I overreact to this, or should I, like, hey, let's calm down, it's training camp. I really want to reinforce the fact that it is training camp, but I keep hearing things from certain members of the media that there are some accuracy issues with Michael Penix Jr. at training camp, when I see numbers getting put side by side of Kirk Cousins and then Penix. And now I've seen the tweet from J.J. Watt, and I talked about it on my show last week, of like, hey, let's not make a big deal of training camp numbers because you have no idea the situation. But just from what you're seeing, is the accuracy something that needs to get honed in for Michael Penix Jr.?
I think that was always kind of the part of his game that at least I had circled as, okay, if there is something that is maybe not correctable in one off season, but you can make strides in getting ultimately where you want it to be, that's accuracy. Because accuracy is usually something we kind of don't see the quarterbacks, I think, fully get into what they're going to be until like year three or year four. Even like a Joe Burrow, even somebody like that. If your completion percentage is very high, I'm going to look at a couple of things. I want to see where on the field are you throwing it, because a high completion percentage with a majority of your balls coming between 10 and 20 yards of air distance is a lot different than between the line of scrimmage and 10 yards, mm-hmm. right? So Michael Penix is a big game hunter. He's going to throw the ball down the field. I do think early on that's going to come with a little bit of a lower completion percentage, but if a number of those balls turn into home runs for you, there's some give and take there that that I will live with. The other aspect that I look at when it comes to accuracy is where are you placing the ball? And that is something that Zach Robinson kind of talked a little bit about when he spoke with the media on Friday, which is it may look like a high ball, or it may look like a ball, you know, way outside. But in going back and talking with Michael afterwards, he said, hey, like, what did you see there? And the angle that the quarterback might have, there may be a defensive lineman with a hand up and he's kind of putting it over there. He may see the trailer be in position to cut off more of a rope. And so he's going to try to put some arc under it. Like, there are different things where if you're looking from one vantage point, it could be a totally different ballgame. Now, I say all of that to say, there are still some passes that I'm sure Michael would like to have back. There are still some passes. There was he was playing as well as I think I've seen him in training camp on Thursday. And then it ended with an interception to Natron Brooks on a jump ball in the end zone to his favorite target so far in camp, Drake London. And he just left it short. Now that's something that may not be the best throw in Michael Penix's bag. I have no idea, but if they're trying to work on it, that's where to circle back to kind of what TJ or JJ Watt was saying. I do think these stats can be misleading, which is why I've never been a big, like, I'm charting every yeah. single throw. I want to get a vibe, because they may be practicing something they're not good at, and I don't want to penalize them for that. So he does need to clean up the accuracy a little bit. I do think that's going to take a little bit of time, but if he's able to add a more explosive element to this offense, I'm going to live in, I'll live with, you know, missing a few throws here and there.
Talking with Will McFadden, senior editor for AtlantaFalcons.com on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Last one for you, Will. We saw this week, and fans are going to get all excited at the possibility that a trade could go down, but Micah Parsons officially puts in a trade request with the Dallas Cowboys. It seems to me, at least, and we're going to talk about it coming up next, that this is just a negotiation tactic. However, does, in your opinion, does Terry Fontenot pick up the phone and call Dallas and throw something out there? Or is this something you really don't even bother with because it's not that realistic?
You know, they always maintain that they do every bit of their homework. And I am sure that this is something that they are highly aware of.
Sure.
And do have an opinion on where one way or the other. What that opinion is, I'm not privy to. That's above my personal pay grade. But if it were me personally, and I've been thinking a lot about this as it is part of my job, is like, where are you putting him now? And I know a lot of people yep. are going to say it's Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Like you bring Micah Parsons in and you figure it out. But then honestly, I would have a bigger issue with like this draft than last year's draft if you make this move, because now I'm looking at not just this year's first rounder, but last or next year's first rounder used on a position that you now have just brought in a massively expensive mm-hmm. kind of centerpiece for. So then you've got all the ripple effects after. So I get it. I totally understand that Micah Parsons is Micah Parsons. But if they had made this move in February, I would understand it. After the draft that they'd had, which I fully buy into and I think was a good and refreshing draft from this organization, to make this move now in August, and with the financial ties that it will come with, I kind of think it's a move in the opposite direction, even though I understand that as a player, he probably does immediately put a team like two steps forward defensively.
That is Will McFadden. You can look him up on the host of Falcons Final Whisper. You can follow him on social media at Will McFadden. Wow. M-C-F-A-D-D-E-N, as I try to spell and talk at the same time. But that's Will McFadden. Look him up on social media, on AtlantaFalcons.com and Host of Falcons, Final Whistle. Will, appreciate you so much for coming on and giving me some of your time on this Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, of course, Caleb. It was a blast talking with you, and I'm happy to do it anytime. Maybe I'll see you at the game.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will be in the building on Friday as the Falcons take on the Detroit Lions, or whatever parts of the Lions and the Falcons that end up. The uniforms will be out there, and that is what matters. But appreciate it, Will.
Of course, anytime, Caleb.
All right, on the other side of the break, 4 minutes away from talking about the biggest reason that Micah Parsons coming to Atlanta doesn't make sense. I feel like it's so obvious, guys. It's coming up next. Caleb Johnson here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennial Show on this Sunday afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we're going to talk with Gaurav Vidak of Peach State Pros. He's also a contributor to Battery Power and Fansided. Grav is the one who knows all about the minor league system for the Atlanta Braves. You know, the side that's been neglected for quite some time, that all I've heard is very thin when it comes to position players and could have used an upgrade at the trade deadline, but it didn't happen. And all I get to hear is, well, you know, I mean, it's tough. No one wants to make deals. No one wants to make trades. Did you guys know that? I mean, there wasn't any deals available. No one was picking up the phone and calling the Braves. Oh, the poor Braves. They just, no one wanted to be their friend and call them about their players. And I get it. Like, you for sure have to weigh the upside of what you're getting in return. But some of the comments that I heard from Alex Anthopoulos this past week and him talking about, well, you know, we didn't want to just give these guys up for nothing. You mean the nothing that you're going to get from them when they're gone at the end of the season? Huh. Weird how that works. But okay, sure. Couldn't get anything. I thought that was what you did. I thought that's what you were good at, was getting other people's stuff that they don't want and turning it into greatness. It's what you did in 2021, and it's what we thought you were going to be able to do time and time and time again. It's kind of why you got the job, because you know that the Braves are not going to be top of Major League Baseball in payroll. But okay, I digress. That's fine. All right, one of the things that we talked with last segment with Will McFadden, senior editor for AtlantaFalcons.com, was the news that came out this week about Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons has been looking for a new deal, and so everybody's kind of been waiting around of like, hey, when's it going to happen? Because, I mean, he is one of the best players in the NFL right now, one of the best pass rushers, a position that you absolutely need in the NFL. So, and he's easily the best player on the Dallas Cowboys, the team that he plays for. So, like, getting a contract extension shouldn't be difficult, right? Like, this shouldn't be hard. But on Friday, Micah Parsons goes to social media, releases. He put out the type of tweet, and I don't know if he put this on Instagram, but I saw it on Twitter. He put out one of those congratulations or I'm sorry for you. I don't know, but I ain't reading all that. Like, this was absolutely one of those.
Yeah, he did the move where you type out the whole message in your notes app and then you screenshot it and then post that.
But here's my problem with the screenshots. He didn't edit the screenshot.
Yeah,
they still
lap.
It would be the previous part two. Yeah. And I'm like, ah, see.
You got to cut it right.
This is like Micah, you need to say this, send it to your agent, let them put it in Canva, get a nice little simple backdrop, and then send it back to you, and then you can post the message. You know, like you need the guys who are out here, please respect my decision. The guys who are flipping schools, you need that kind of message, not this screenshot of your notes app that doubles the message over again and makes it seem incredibly long. It's all to say, though, that Micah Parsons went to the Dallas Cowboys about getting an extension done after his third year. So this is, he's going into what year? Is this year five? Year four?
I believe this is year four.
Okay.
Or no. Yeah, year four.
So he's heading in
or something.
He's heading into five, isn't he? I feel like I remember this, but I could be wrong.
Because in the post he said he reached out to them at the end of his third year,
which he was talking about.
Was that 2 years ago?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Was
so
he talking about last
season? This past
season
was his fourth. I believe he's going into his fifth.
He's going to his yeah. Okay. So he reached out after his third season, saying like, "Hey, you want to get an extension done? Because that would be really smart on the side of the Cowboys. You see." Player is great, and you know what? We can get him at a cheaper rate than he's going to cost us in a couple of years when he continues to be great. And this whole idea that Jerry Jones has put out in people's minds that, well, you know, Micah's been hurt, and so that's part of the decision. Micah missed, what is this, four games over the course of his four-year career? That's pretty good health in the NFL. So this idea that he doesn't stay healthy because he missed three games last year is absolutely insane. Or he missed four last year. He's missed five over the course of a four-year career. Still, outside of one injury that held him out for a significant time this past season, dude's been really healthy. And came to you before then about a contract extension. But the part that the mess that is Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, that's one of those, like, that is classic. Jerry Jones is an old man, and it's showing so much now because of the dumb things that he says on a regular basis, because of how out of touch he is, because the fact that he came to a handshake agreement with Micah Parsons back in March, apparently, but that Micah was like, it's still a business deal, so like it's got to go through my agent, who he has, David Mulgeta, easily one of the best, if not the best, agent in the league. And you're out here, no, me and Mike already worked it out. Like, Jerry, that's not how these things happen anymore.
Not at all.
What are we doing? I just don't understand. It's such a weird situation. But the part that I wanted to get to and spend some time on, because coming up in about 10 minutes from now, we're going to get to Gaurav Vidak of Peach State Pros and talk about the Braves minor league system. But the important thing for Falcons fans to understand, when all of the, oh man, the Falcons need to go trade for Micah Parsons. And like, yeah, great player in the NFL. Falcons need pass rush. Go trade for pass rush. I get the initial thought process here. But the easiest thing to point to as to why you would not go get Micah Parsons is part of what we talked about with Will McFadden last segment. You just drafted two young, cheap pass rushers. You know what you don't do when you have young, cheap talent? Go get expensive talent. Did we learn nothing from Kirk Cousins?
I was going to say, do you remember who you're talking
to? Did we learn nothing? Come on. Like, think it through just one step further than where you want to be on the, yeah, man, having Micah Parsons in red and black would be really cool. Yeah, it would. It would. It'd be fun. You know what? Go home. Crank up your PS5. Put Micah Parsons on the Atlanta Falcons and have fun, because that's where he should stay in any sort of reality, playing for the Atlanta Falcons. Guys, it just doesn't make sense. There are needs on this team that need to be addressed. Yes, pass rush is one of them. Guess what? They just went and got a younger, cheaper version in Jalen Walker. What did we say going into the draft? What did we say after the Falcons selected Jalen Walker? Man, that guy is a prototype just like Micah Parsons. Now, is he going to turn into that? We don't know. But Terry Fontenot and the Atlanta Falcons organization have that belief. That's why they went and drafted him. They think he is going to have that level of impact. So you can't tell me you think you've got a younger, cheaper Micah Parsons and then go trade and pay Micah Parsons. It would make no sense whatsoever. And it's fun. It's fun to think about for a second. It's fun to go like, man, could you imagine? Because, yeah, I mean, the lowest important thing amongst all of this is like, where would you fit him? Because you make it work. You think of the NBA, like if you have a super team of the likes, guys that are all 30-point-a-night scorers, you make it work. Somebody sacrifices, you figure it out amongst your coordinator, make it happen. So that part, I'm not that concerned about. It's just the, like, let's take it one step further than the, it'd be really cool if Micah Parsons was on the Atlanta Falcons. Because, like, yeah, it would be, but does it make sense? No. All right. And now we can move on and live our lives and not be mad when Micah Parsons ends up re-signing with the Dallas Cowboys, as is going to happen. We just watched it with Myles Garrett, guys. Myles Garrett asked out of Cleveland. All of a sudden, ends up with a new deal. Now, is it weird that Jerry Jones is on the field telling people, hey, don't lose any sleep over this, it's just a part of negotiation, and Micah Parsons is 20 feet behind him? Yeah, it's weird because Dallas is weird. And Jerry likes attention, and that's what he's getting. Just don't make it ruin your day when you're trying to trade Jalen Walker and Kyle Pitts and a first-round pick in order to get Mike. No, guys, no. There's a salary cap. There's a reason why you have to construct a roster in a way that makes sense. It's the reason why going to get Kirk Cousins hurt you so much, and you don't want to do that again. All right, there we go. I'm off my soapbox. Coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show, Gaurav Vidak of Peach State Pros and Battery Power. He's the guy to go to for Braves minor league system, understanding it all, and we'll get into some positivity. There is some other positivity to go talk about with the Braves today. It'll come up next. Caleb Johnson here with you, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Sunday afternoon. It's crazy how, like, You'll hear these stats that come up in baseball of so-and-so is the first player to do this, this, and this. And sometimes they're LeBron stats, if we're all honest. It's like, this player is the first one to hit three doubles on a Tuesday or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then sometimes you have insanely impressive ones, like we saw from, and I'm blanking on the kid's name, from the A's, who had the 4-for-4 or the 6-for-6 night a couple weeks ago and hit four home runs. It was absolutely insane. Well, I say all that to say, got my brain sidetracked, to say currently the only person to ever hit a home run in Major League Baseball in the state of Tennessee is Eli White. Eli White had two homers today as the Braves beat the Cincinnati Reds and get their first win on a Sunday since May 18th. It's been a long time, guys. And what was funny is what Dom and I talked about earlier wasn't even, like, the Braves were not supposed to play on this particular Sunday. So naturally, that's when they get a Sunday win. So a bit of positivity to happen for the Braves today amongst the season that has been anything but. And so heading into the show today, I was like, you know what? I need some positivity. And so let's go find out what's going on in the minor league system. So we're going to go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, bring in Gaurav Vadak, who is a host of Peach State Pros. He's also a contributor to Fansided and Battery Power. Gaurav, how you doing on this Sunday, man?
Oh, now that impressive Brave streak is finally over, I'm doing a lot better. How about yourself?
Yeah, man, I'm with you, because it's just like it got to the point where it was just comical, because the number of ways that this team was losing those games on Sunday, and then, you know, we get into the eighth inning, and I'm thinking, well, I feel good about this game, but that doesn't mean something can't go horribly wrong, like another rainstorm or something to come through and mess with this one for the Braves. But to get the win today, but the bigger conversation going on with this team, Gaurav, as of late, is that the trade deadline came and went on Thursday, and Alex Anthopoulos sat on his hands and answered questions afterwards as to, like, well, I'm not just going to make a deal for the sake of making a deal and all of these sorts of things, when specifically there were two players that a lot of
fans and media alike thought could be playing for a different team, whether it's Marcell Ozuna or whether it's Raisel Iglesias. I wanted to ask you, as you are the, I would put you as the Braves minor league guru who knows about this team and kind of the entire farm system, and is super helpful as you tweet often on social media. You can follow Gaurav at GVEDAK on social media. But I wanted to ask you, like, when it comes to the Braves not making any moves at the trade deadline, and specifically potentially getting rid of Raisel Iglesias or something of the like, do rentals not usually get traded for prospects, or why do you think Alex ultimately opted to keep these guys who are very likely going to be gone?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a surprise for myself as well. You know, with when you have someone like Ozuna who's, you know, struggled over the past month or so, and that kind of inflated contract, I think he was owed another $6 million for the rest of the year. I wasn't too surprised that the Braves, you know, were able to find a suitor. You know, I think best case scenario for him might have been, you know, a small level prospect and some cash. For Iglesias, he had recently found form, but he still has been a struggle for 2025. So maybe for him, you get, you know, another small level prospect, and you try and build some depth in the organization. I think the only really big surprise for me was, you know, in a season like this year where it seems lost, you're not going to be able to really compete. You know, one player that really stood out to me was Pierce Johnson, and he recently just won Pitcher of the Month for the Braves for the month of July. Someone that with control for next year, kind of on the cheaper side, lights out stuff. You know, he's someone that might have been able to demand a bigger prospect, you know, return from another team, but ultimately the Braves think the this core can compete next year with a couple of additional pieces, and that Pierce Johnson is going to be a significant part of that. So while I was a bit surprised that they weren't able to trade Marcell or Raisel, ultimately I think the gains that you would have gotten from that, from those kinds of trades, would have been, you know, just marginal at best, and it wouldn't have been on the same level as some of the other prominent trades that happened during the deadline.
Now, before the trade deadline day, the Braves did acquire a prospect. They traded for infield or shortstop Jim Jarvis from the Tigers organization. What do you kind of see as Jim's upside coming into the Braves organization?
Yeah, so Jim has a ton of defensive versatility. He's someone that can play throughout the entire diamond. He's, you know, whether it be first or third, second or short, he's got tons of value defensively. Offensively, he's more of a contact guy first without much power. So thinks, you know, kind of somewhat like a Nick Allen without that Nick Allen defensive upside. You know, Nick is on another level. He's in a planet on his own defensively. But Jim does have that kind of potential around the diamond. So he's not someone that necessarily I have high on my prospect list or something like that, but I do see major league value because he can come in, fill in for injured players, whether it be at first or third or anywhere around the diamond. So he does have value when it comes to that, and you're able to get rid of some payroll. So overall, that's more in line of what I expected, you know, the kinds of return that you would get from a Marcell Ozuna or a Raisel, of course, a little higher level than Jim Jarvis, but someone that would provide a little bit of value to the big league team, but ultimately become one of the bigger players in the upper minors, which is something that the Braves have, you know, struggled with for the past 2 years.
Rob, when you're putting together these minor league teams that the Braves have, like, how much organizationally are you just trying to have guys who can be there and play every day? And like, how important is it to have at every level guys who you expect to be up at the big leagues, you know, whether it's in the near or not so near future?
It's incredibly important. And that really comes from Double A and above. You know, those are the types of players that you see, whether they be assets and trades, or if they have to fill in for a player that's hurt, right? They need to be ready at any point, and you need to have that kind of organizational depth that goes down to at least Triple A. And what we've seen from this year and last year is that, well, a little longer than that, that positional depth has not been there in the upper minors. And that's why you're starting to see, you know, you were only able to bring in Nacho Alvarez while the struggles between Austin Riley, Nick Allen, and Ozzie Albies at the start of the season. You didn't really have anyone else that could come in and give them a break, right? And, like, it's tough to be able to withstand a 162-game season because you're down. Like, you're of course, going to have downward times. Like, players are not going to be on the top of their game over the course of the season, and being able to sit a player and let them rest for a couple of days is extremely important, and that's something the Braves have not been able to do lately, and it's really has to do with the lack of depth in their upper minors, because those kinds of players, whether it be, again, like Luke Waddell was someone who could potentially come in and play on the big league team in a stopgap situation, but he was hurt at the beginning of the season. And without him, without Nacho, who was also hurt, you didn't really have too many players that could come in and take some time off for these major leaguers. So, like, it is incredibly important. While you want to have big name prospects throughout the system, it's not going to happen. And while the Braves have started to get that positional depth in the lower minors, it's not there in the uppers. So you do have some times where you're going to have to go with someone that you don't necessarily want to play because of injuries. So having that depth is incredibly important to be able to withstand a full season.
Talking with Gaurav Vidak on the WadeFor.com hotline. Gaurav, a host of Peach State Pros, as well as contributor to Fansided and Battery Power. I'm curious to get your thoughts on, obviously, the Braves call up earlier this year, Didier Fuentes, 20 years old. Everyone was really excited. His dad was there in the crowd, and kind of the fun story was there for a moment, and then it was like very quickly, oh, this guy is not quite ready for the big leagues. But you saw him getting a start recently, Owen Murphy as well. What are you seeing from some of these young arms as potential options to get called up to the big leagues?
If we're talking about arms, there's so much to talk about in the Braves organization. You know, if we're talking just straight call up to the major leagues, someone like J.R. Ritchie, who's the Braves' number two prospect, he's been pitching extremely well. He's recently promoted to AAA. He's got a four-pitch mix that he's able to use all four, command all four. He's a very intriguing prospect. We just saw Hurst and Waldrop come in with all those mechanical changes and pitch five effective innings over at Bristol. The Braves recently brought back Owen Murphy. He pitched three innings I believe it was yesterday or the day before, had eight strikeouts. He's recovering from Tommy John surgery. That was incredibly intriguing. And then, you know, Didier Fuentes is probably the highest prospect on my list. I don't look at what happened in the majors. He's got, for his career, is like 162 innings professionally. So he needs some more time to get that consistency and to find that release point. But his pitch mix and what he can do on the mound is ridiculous. And then you have someone like their first overall pick, yes, last year, which is Cam Caminiti. Cam is now throwing five pitches at low A Augusta. He's throwing them all extremely well. The Braves aren't even letting him use his best pitch, which is his curveball, because he's been so good with his fastball and his sweeper in low A. So when it comes to arm, gloss over Blake Burkhalter, who they recently moved to the bullpen because he was at a career high in innings. Like, that's the depth of arms that are ready to contribute within the next 1 to 2 to 3 years is actually really ridiculous. And the Braves have created incredible depth, high end depth when it comes to arms itself.
Do you see any of these guys getting, and even outside of just pitching prospects, do you see anyone who you really kind of believe should get some sort of, I guess you'd call it a tryout for the rest of the way for this Brave season, with the fact that we know this, it's not heading towards the playoffs, and you want to some extent see what you've got as you head into a new year?
Yeah, I think the Braves have a couple of intriguing arms, whether it be Giancarlo Lara, who, you know, sits 101 to 103 on the radar gun with his fastball and has one of the best sliders in all of minor league baseball. I think he's absolutely candidate number one. Candidate number two would have to be Hayden Harris out of Georgia Southern, who has a very, very unique fastball that just confounds hitters and has a sweeper that he's now able to throw to both sides of the plate as well as a splitter. So those two are probably at the very top of the list. And then number three, I would have to go with Blake Burkhalter, because again, they've moved him to the bullpen now because he's at the most innings he's ever pitched, and they want to conserve his arm. in the bullpen, he's now throwing 96. And so he becomes another arm that you could take a look at. And all three of those players are on the Rule 5 eligible, so they have to be added to the 40-man regardless. Those are three players that I think that the Braves could take a look at, whether it be end of August into September, and see if those are players that you want around for 2026.
Last one for you, Gaurav. The Braves right now in the mix, certainly, to have the number one overall pick in the 2026 MLB draft. Just if it's somewhere in the realm of top three, what is a prospect? You know, what's the type of player, maybe it's positionally, that you think that the Braves should be taking a real look at?
You have to hope that the Braves go top four, because there are four outstanding shortstops available within the top four. That's Rock Chalowski from UCLA, Brady Emerson, the prep shortstop, Jacob Lombard, who's also another prep shortstop, or Tyler Spangler, who is another prep shortstop. These are insane athletes with incredible defensive prowess at short, with also high potentials at the bat. So you really got to hope for the Braves landing in that top four mix, because those are four potential, like, position-altering players that you can nab that have rocket fast. We're talking being able to rise to, you know, Columbus and above within the first 2 to 3 years, even despite, you know, someone like Grady or Jacob, who are 18 years old. They're that advanced for their age. Those are players that can move really rapidly. So you really want to hope that the Braves are able to go within the top four, because I think without a doubt, you have four amazing candidates at short that the Braves can take for their future.
Shortstop, you say, like the position of real need right now? That's one of those, like, seeing that, yeah, that's certainly enticing. Hopefully the ping pong balls will roll in the Braves' favor coming up. Do you know when they do the lottery?
Ooh, I actually don't know off the top of my mind. It's not for a bit, though.
Yeah, okay, we got some time. But hopefully, out of all the negativity that's come from this season, the Braves get something positive after all. That is Gaurav Vadak. You can follow him on social media, GVEDAK. He is the host of Peach State Pros. And definitely go check out his stuff. Anything, Gaurav, specific you want the people to look for?
Just follow me on social media. That's where I love talking about minor league baseball. If you got a question, feel free to ask.
And you do such a great job at it. You keep me up to date, because I definitely am not paying attention on a day-to-day basis, but you can certainly learn a lot from your social media. And I appreciate you coming on and giving us some time on the show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. On the other side of the break, coming up 4 minutes from now, Kirby Smart on with the Steakhouse this week spoke about Gunnar Stockton. He hasn't named a starting quarterback, but he spoke about Gunnar. Hear what he has to say coming up next. It's the Dopamine Millennial Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in.
We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.